Okay, good night, everybody. Good morning. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Chav Gimel, the last daf of the second parak of Maseches Beitza. Bez Hashem will try Beli Neder to finish the parak today. We are holding at the Mishnah all the way back on Chav Beis Amud Beis, a little less than halfway down the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis is going to discuss three different kulas of Rabban Gamliel. And then the Gemara is going to describe the difference between using incense legamer boas akelim versus using incense lahariach bo, that which makes kelim more fragrant versus that which just makes a person be able to enjoy a nice fragrance. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the isser of being molid recha on Yom Tov, and then the Gemara is going to talk about gedim kulas on Pesach, preparing an animal in a way that's similar to the way they would roast to cover Pesach on Pesach, and whether that is mutter or not. Then the Mishnah on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph in the middle of the page is going to have three kulas of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that he was matir and the Chachamim asered. And the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about the wealth of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and this discussion of the Mishnah is going to lead us into a discussion of the concept of Dover She'enu Meskavein. Then on Amud Beis, the first Mishnah is going to talk about three different parts of Erei Chaim, and as far as Kabbalah's Tum is concerned, and as far as other halachos as far as Kabbalah's Tum is concerned. And then the last mission in the parak is going to talk about an agala shel katan, a wagon for a child, which has ramifications for Hilchos Tumah, for Hilchos Muktzah, for dragging on the ground, as far as making a hole in the ground, being choresh on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that will bring us, Bez Hashem, to the end of the parak. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Chav Beis and Beis. So says the Mishnah, Afu Amar Shlosh Advarim Lahak. Just like we had in the previous Mishnah, that Rabban Gamliel had three things that he was machmir kedivrei Beis Shammai, he also had three significant kulas. Number one, mechabdin Beis Hamitos. He said that one is allowed to sweep out the Beis Hamitos, the place where they would eat. The mita we normally associate as a bed, a place where a person sleeps. But no, Beis Hamitos means the place where they would have their seuda. They would lean on a mita at the time that they would have their seuda, and you don't have to worry that it's any sort of iser to sweep out the house. And number two, manichnes a Mugmar b'Yom Tov, that they could put the incense on Yom Tov in order to make the kelim smell nice, to be mevasim, or to make the house smell nice, and they would do it as they would do that for the that apparently is considered enough of an ochel nefesh need that you're allowed to do that. And number three, va'osim gedim kulas b'leile psachim, that you could roast a goat that is a helmeted goat, which is the way, it's just a description of the way they would position the animal that they would use for the Korban Pesach. You're allowed to roast an animal in such a way on Pesach, and apparently the maila of doing that was as a zecher to the Korban Pesach, that after all, we do a lot of things that are zecher l'migdash, so as a zecher to the Korban Pesach, they would dafka have a gedim kulas. But in all three of these things, the Chacham Mosim, the Chacham Maser, all three of these things. And Rashi explains, why do the Chacham Maser all three of these things? What is the problem? So he says, when it comes to sweeping out the house, it's aser because of Hashva'as Gum, that you're evening out whatever holes there are in the ground, because they used to have dirt floors. So you're being mashva the gumos. So and even if you say davashen miskavin is mutter, but if it's psik reshe, it's going to be aser, and this is clearly a psik reshe for hashva as gumos. So that's as far as that. As far as the mugmar, it's aser because apparently it's not shava l'kol nefesh. Who has the ability to use mugmar? Only people who are very well, or mefunakim, or people who have problems with bad body odor or something like that. But most normal people do not have the ability to use mugmar, and therefore it's not shavu l'kol nefesh. And as far as the gedim mekulas, it looks like you have kachim b'chutz, and people are going to be makdish b'hema for a carbon, and they're going to eat it if they see that you're doing something that looks exactly like carbon pesach. So it's nice to do a zecher to the Beis HaMikdash, but this zecher is a little too close to home. People are going to get confused, and they're going to come to be makdish the animal itself. So that's how Rashi explains all three of the concerns. Says the Gemara, Amra Vasi Machlokas Legamer, Avalariach Tavriach Kol Mutter. The whole Machlokas in our Mishnah is whether you're allowed to make kelim fragrance, whether you're allowed to make your clothing fragrant. But if you just want to make a nice smell that you can smell, so then that's hanos haguf that everyone is going to say is mutter. So Meisveis, the Gemara says, really, is that true that the machlokas is only legamer, but la riach, everyone is going to say is mutter? But the following brisa does not indicate that way, because it says, ein mechabdin beis hamikdash b'yom tov shel beis hamikdash b'yom mechabdin. This is not the relevant part of the brisa, but we're going to go through this part as well, that the you're not allowed to sweep out the house on Yom Tov, but Beis Rav Gamliel used to sweep out the house. Amar Rabbi Elazar Tzadik, Pam Harbi Nechmas Tiachar Abba LeBeis Rav Gamliel. A lot of times I followed my father into the house of Rav Gamliel. Lo Yom Mechabdin Beis Hamikdash B'Yom Tov, El Mechabdin Osa Me'erev Yom Tov, Parsal Ein Sadinin. They did not sweep out the house on Yom Tov. What they would do is, they would sweep it on Erev Yom Tov, then they would spread cloth all over the floor, L'machar K'sharchem Nechnasin, and then the next day when the guests came, Misalkin Esa Sadinin, they would pick up the cloth and whatever crumbs had fallen the previous night fell on those cloths. So then they revealed the already swept floor and everything was fine, and then it was all set for all the guests. That's what Beis Rav Gamliel did. So if you come to their house, you would think, oh, they must have swept the floor today, but you wouldn't realize, no, they swept it on Erev Yom Tov. They just protected it. They put a tarp over it, and then they took off the tarp, and then it looked like a freshly swept floor. So Amalot the Chum said back to him, Im Kain, Af B'Shabbos Mutlasos Kain. There's no kunz in doing that, meaning you're allowed to do that even on Shabbos. There's no iser whatsoever. You're not being mashve gumos at all. So, and then the second halacha, and this is the part of the brisa that's relevant to our discussion, because we had made this statement. Rav Asi had made the statement that the whole machlokas of making using incense is legamer the kelim, but lahariach everyone says is mutter. So now this part of the brisa is relevant to that. Ve'ein manichnas a mugmar b'yom tov. You're not allowed to use the mugmar. You're not allowed to use the incense on yom tov. V'shal beis Rav Gamliel manichan. But the beis Rav Gamliel used to do so. Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik. Pam marbi nichnas yachar abel the beis Rav Gamliel. There were lots of times that I followed my father to the beis Rav Gamliel. V'loy manichnas a mugmar b'yom tov. They didn't actually use the mugmar in yom tov. Ella mevi'in ardas ko'os shel barzel. They would bring these metal plates that had holes in them. Umashal some Erev Yom Tov, they will prepare the mugmar and Erev Yom Tov, upokikin nikveh and Erev Yom Tov. They will prepare it inside this kli that had holes on the top where the smoke and the fragrance is supposed to come through, and then they would plug up those holes on Erev Yom Tov. Then the machar k'sharchem nichnasin, the next day when the guests would show up, poschnes nikvehen, they would unplug the holes, avinimtza bayis miskamer me'elav, and then me'elav the smell would escape, and the whole house had a pleasant aroma. So that's what they would do. Amrulos, they said back to him, Im Kain, Af B'Shabbos Mutlasos Kain. Well, if that's all they did, then you're allowed to do that on Shabbos as well. So the point is, you see from this brisa that the machlok between Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim was about placing mugmar in order lahariachbo, not to be megamer the begadim, because it was the tzorach the orchim. They didn't have the orchim's clothing in advance. They did this for the guests who arrived the next day, that they should be able to smell a nice fragrance. And that is the subject of the discussion over here. So how can you tell me that when it comes to lahariachbo, everyone holds its mutter? No, you see the discussion is playing out in the situation of lahariachbo. So says the Gemara, Eliyin mar hachiyin mar. You know what? Rav Asi, we must have misquoted Rav Asi. What he must have really said is that Amar Rav Asi machlokes lahariach, that the machlokes is only when you're producing the fragrance to enjoy the fragrance, that you should just smell it. But if you're doing it to be mesakin mana, to make the clothing smell nice, which is considered a violation of tikkun mana, so that aser, that everyone is going to agree is aser. Good. So says Gemara Nushay Leibayilu Maula Ashen. What about being ma'ashin? What does it mean being ma'ashin? Smoking? No, it's not about smoking. It says Rashi, peiros ba'ashin b'samim liklo tama bosem. That they would have peiros, they would smoke the peiros. Like we smoke meat, they would smoke the peiros to have a certain fragrance to the peiros. Can you do that on Yom Tov? So Rabbi Yirmi Baraba Amarav Asr, Ushmuel Amar Mutter. So Rav says Asr, Shmuel says Mutter. Rav Huna Amar Asr Mibnei Shemechabe. Rav Huna says that it's Asr because you're being, by putting the bosem on the Gechalim, you're being Mechabe the Gechalim. So Amalei Rav Nachman says Rav Huna, V'neim Amar Mibnei Shemavir. Why don't you say that it's Asr to do it? Because by putting the bosem on the Gechalim, you're burning the Gechalim, you're being mavir, and that's also an av malacha. So Amalei, so Rav Huna said, Enochinami, you're right. It's asr for both reasons. Tchilaso mechaba v'sofo mavir. That the way it works is that when you initially place it, it's first mechaba a little bit, and then it's mavir. So I'm just going in order. So I mentioned mechaba because that's the first of the malachos that you violate when you are ma'ashen peros. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda comments to put the bosem al gabe gacheles aser on top of coals is aser and yamtuv because that's mechaba and mavir. Exactly like Rav Huna just told us, it's a violation of both mechaba and mavir. But al gabe cheres mutter to put the bosem on top of cheres, that the hot piece of pottery, that's going to be mutter because the cheres is not extinguished in any way. It's not a fire. It's not a fire to be extinguished. And it's not a violation of being mavir the bosem because it's not derech havara. It's considered, even though it is burning the bosem, it's havara kila achar yad. That's how the Rishonim explain over here that it's havara kila achar yad, and havara kila achar yad is not aser min haTorah. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. V'rabba amra al gabi cheres nami aser, that even putting it on cheres is going to be aser mishum to kamal l'drecha, because even though you're right, it's not mechabe, it's not mavir, but it's molid reyach in the cheres. The cheres is now more fragrant because the smell of the bosem enters into the cheres, and the chum do not allow creating a new metzius on Yom Tov because that's similar to a malacha. So now you're taking that a plain piece of pottery that had no smell to it, and you're infusing an aroma in it, and that's like that's way too similar to a malacha. That's an iser midrabanan. Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu schufe kosa ashiroi biyom Tova Osir, that putting a kos that is mevusam on top of begadim, on top of silk cloth on Yom Tov, in order that the silk cloth should absorb some of that smell, that's aser. My time, mishum to kamolid recha, because you're creating a reyach in the begadim, you're creating an aroma in the begadim, and molid, that's an isra of molid on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to be molid reyach on Yom Tov. Well, why is this any different than that which we say that if you have cinnamon sticks or atzei besamim, that you're allowed to rub them between your fingers in order to get out some of the smell, in order to make some of the smell come out so that you're able to smell it, or you're allowed to cut off a fresh piece of it, you know, if it's already talush min hakarka, you're allowed to cut so that you expose a fresh area of it so that the smell will come out. Isn't that also being molid reyach? Says Marna Hasam Recha Mia Isa Va'usufehu the Kamosaf Recha Hacha Ludi the Kamolid Recha. No, in that case, whatever besamim you had in your hand already had a reyach, so you just want to freshen the reyach, you want to strengthen the reyach, so you cut it a little bit so it lets a little more reyach out. But over here, this is, you're talking about clothing that had no reyach whatsoever, and you're infusing reyach in the first place. That's being molded reyach, and that's going to be aser. Now, as far as ishun peros, Rava Amar al gabi gacheles nami mutter. Rava thought that you could even be ma'ashin peros on top of gacheles. Ay, it's mechabe, it's mavir, it's molid reyach, it's all of these things. Now, apparently you're allowed to do that for the sake of ishun peros, because ishun peros is melachas ochel nefesh, and you're allowed to do all of these melachos for the sake of ochel nefesh. Mididava, bisra gumri, just like you're allowed to put a fresh piece of meat on hot coals in order to cook the meat, even though it's mechabe and it's mavir and it does all of those things, but you're allowed to do all of those things for the sake of ochel nefesh, and this is no different. Darushav gaviyah mibeksil apiskut beirish galusa ketura shari, that to do ketura is mutter. So the Gemara is going to say, well, what does ketura mean? The word ketura could mean two things. It could mean a lashon of kesher, like a knot, ketura, or it could mean a lashon of ketores, like smoke. So something to do with either knots or smoke is mutter. But what on earth is it talking about? Somlay Amemer, Amemer said to Rav Gubiya, my ketura, what is this ketura that you're allowing on Yom Tov? E ketura biyadi, if we're talking about that you take the sleeves of clothing and you put it on a piece of smooth wood and you somehow tie them together so that they won't have any creases in it. It's like a pressing type of thing. So it looks like the folds are very attached to each other, are tied to each other. Maisa umenhu. That's a maisa umen. You're not allowed to do that in Yom Tov. That's tikkun kli. V'i la'ashen. And if you're talking about to be ma'ashen peros, aser daka mechaba. You're not allowed to do that because you're being mechaba the gechalim upon which you're being ma'ashen the peros. Amalei Ravashi li'olam la'ashen. Really, we're talking about being ma'ashen peros. Why is it mutter? Midadava b'sar gumri. Why is it mutter to take a raw steak and put it on hot coals on Yom Tov, even though it's being mechabe and mavir and all? You're allowed to do it because it's ochel nefesh. So this is also ochel nefesh. Ikeda amri. Others have a different version of the same conversation that Amalei Amemar my ketura. That Amemar says, what do you mean when you're being matir ketura? What does ketura mean? Iketura biyadi ma'isu umenu. If it's ketura biyadi with the clothing to make the clothing crease free, so then it's ma'isu umen. And ila ashein. And if it's to you're being matir, being ma'ashin peros. Aser the kamolid recha. You can't be doing that because, after all, isn't that a violation of molid recha? That's the difference in the two conversations. In the first version of the conversation, he said ila ashein. It's aser because it's mechabe. Now he's saying, I understand. Maybe you're going to say it's not mechabe, but it's molid recha. So Ravashi, I said this din in front of Rav Gavia, and I said it in the name of an adam gadol li olam li ashein mitadava bisra gumri. It is la ashein and still mutter to do on Yom Tov, meaning when we said keturah is mutter, it means to be ma'ashin peros. Aye, what about being molid reyach? But when you put meat on hot coals, there's also a lodas reyach in the coals. And nevertheless, you're allowed to do it because it's for the sake of ochel nefesh, and you're allowed to do all sorts of malachos for the sake of ochel nefesh. Mechabe and mavir, so molid reyach is also mutter for the sake of ochel nefesh. Then we said in the Mishnah va'osin gedi makulas that you can make the base from Gamliel would make a helmeted goat on the night of Pesach, meaning they would roast a goat the same way you would roast a carbon Pesach. So Tani Rabbi Yossi Omer told us is Romi hinigis bnei Romi lechel gedim akulas. That told us is Romi used to encourage the bnei Romi to prepare a gedim akulas in this way. Belele Pesachim sholchulei, they sent a message to him il mole todusata. If not for the fact that you were todus, that you were such an important person, gozanu alecha nidui shata machlas bnei. We would have been gozer a cherim against you, a nidui against you, because you're being machil kachim b'chutz. You're taking kachim animals and you're feeding it. You're feeding kachim to people. So says the Gemara, really? That's kachim b'chutz? Kachim sal kadaitach? Where's kachim? Who's being makdish anything? Eleima ke'ein kachim. No, we would have been gozer nidui because you're going to give people the impression that they could have kachim b'chutz, because people are going to look at this and think it's carbon pesach, and they're going to come to be makdish these animals and do the same thing. So we would have been gozer nidui. When the sugi in Pesachim Nun Gimel quotes this same story, the Gemara says, what do they mean by that when they say il mole todosata? If not for the fact that you were todos, who was todos that they were hesitant about being gozer nidui on todos? So the Gemara had two possibilities: either that todos must have been a very intimidating person and a powerful person, and if you mess with him, you put him in nidui, you're going to pay the price for that, but not complimentary toward him, or that no, todos was an adam gadol. He was a Talmud Chacham, and they didn't think it was right to put Talmud Chacham of his stature in Nidui. So the Gemara concludes that it was the second, that he was a very Chashva Talmud Chacham. And here, how do we know that? Because he's the one that came up with the drasha of the Kal V'chomer Mitzvardim, that Ma'aro Chanani Mishol V'Azariah to be Mapalas Melekiv Shaneish. Where did Chanani Mishol V'Azariah see that they saw that it's worthwhile to be Mapalas Melekiv Shaneish? Because they were no say Kal V'chomer from Tzvardim. That the Tzvardim, the Pasuk says, were everywhere in Mitzrayim by Malchus Tzvardeya, even in the Tanurim, even in the ovens, and they were Moser Nefesh. They gave their lives in order to, and they're not even Mitzuvah, they're frogs, they're not Mitzuvah in anything. So we, who are Mitzuvah in Kiddush Hashem, all the more so, have to be Mapul Kivshanesh. Oh, what a drasha! So he must be a very Chashva person. So that's what the Gemara says in Masech Pesachim. Just backtracking a little bit before we move on to the next Mishnah, we had said that being Molid Reyach is Aser. We do a lot of things that generate a smell. What exactly is Asur Mutter to do on Yom Tov? Meaning in my sukkah, for example, we're a molid reyach, we light candles that produce a smell that hopefully, at least in theory, keeps mosquitoes away. So is that a violation of molid? It actually worked this year, but is that a violation of molid reyach to do such a thing? So there is a discussion of exactly what the what the gedarim are. Or, for example, to be molid reach on one's own skin, to rub something on your own body, is that a violation of molid reach? That's machlokas. Magen Avram seems to aser, but the Mishnah Berurah comes, is machri at the end, that it's that to be makel. Some of the poskim are machri, so l'chara about putting aftershave, cologne, or something like that. Molid reach on your own body. So there is a discussion about like bug sprays. It's very, very fragrant, the bug spray. So the Ksosa Shulchan writes, it's for sure mutter to spray bug spray on Yom Tov because it doesn't have a good smell. It's a smell that's meant to repel bugs. It often repels humans also. It's not a very fragrant odor. And that's what the Debrezina writes, the Debrezina Rav in Be'er Moshe, in Chelik Beis, Simul Chav Gimel, that you're allowed to even spray it directly on your clothing or on your bed. When you want to go to sleep in the sukkah, you're allowed to spray, even though it's going to create a reyach on your clothing, that you're allowed to do that as well. That is not a violation of being molid reyach. Okay, so now says the Mishnah. There are three things that Reb Elazar ben Azariah, three kulas Reb Elazar ben Azariah had that the Chachamim asered. So number one is that there is an iser of Shvisas Behema on Shabbos as well. The Pasuk says, meaning not only am I not allowed to do malacha, my animal is not allowed to do malacha either. I'm not allowed to have my animal do malacha either. A din of Shvisas Behema. It's not a malacha Shabbos. There are a lot of Isurim of Shabbos that are not necessarily a malacha, so Shvisas Behema is one of them. That you're not allowed to have your chamor do malacha for you. So when we asked Rav Asher Weiss about the shtick that a lot of people have this year, that instead of just supporting Shemitah farmers the way we're supposed to, that you buy a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, and then you're Mekayim Shemitah. You buy a little square of Nama by an Amma, and then I'm Yotzei, the mitzvah of Shvisas Karka, because I'm not working that land. I own a piece of someone's living room in the Tanya or something. So and I'm not working it. I'm not plowing it. I'm not harvesting. I'm not doing anything. So I'm being Mekayim the mitzvah of. So we asked if there's a maila in doing such a thing. And so he said, I don't know. Do you buy a donkey to be Yotze Shvisas Behema on Shabbos? You know, it's the same thing. You have a mitzvah Shvisas Karka, a mitzvah Shvisas Behema. Mistama, most people don't buy donkeys to be Yotze the mitzvah of Shvisas Behema on Shabbos. Okay, so he said the right way to do it is to support the farmers, to send money to support the farmers who are being Mosel Nefesh to observe Shemitah. But anyway, so there is an issue called Shvisas Behema. So they said about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that Paraso Yotza, that his para would go out on Shabbos Beritzua Sheben Karnel, with the strap in between its horns, because he held that that's not considered a masa, that's considered something that's only lenoy, it's decorative, and therefore it's not considered a malach, it's not considered that the animal's lifting a burden on Shabbos. And the Chum disagreed. The Chum say that that's a violation of a masa. And the second thing that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is making with, Umekardinus Behema B'Yom Tov, he allowed us scraping the animal on Yom Tov using a comb that had teeth that were made of metal, even though it's going to make a chabura, it's going to make some sort of wound in the animal. He allowed doing that because it's you're not being miskavin to make a chabura at all. You're only just trying to scrape the animal, and it's davashen miskavin whatever chabura you make, and that's going to be mutter. And the Chum say that you're not allowed to do that. We'll see in the Gemara why not. And then the third thing, v'shochakin es hapilpul in brechayim shalhen, you're allowed to grind up peppercorns in their own grinder, in their own mill. They're very small, these rechayim, and they're made for this malacha. Reb Elazar holds that you're allowed to do it the way you do it all year, and the Chum say you're not allowed to do it because it's uvdu d'chol. Rabbi Yehuda omer ein merakten es behema b'yom tov. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to comb an animal on Yom Tov mipnei she'osa chabura, because you're going to make a wound in the animal. Aval mekartzefin, but you're allowed to use a comb that has wooden teeth. And the Chum say that not only can you not use the metal comb, you're not allowed to use the wooden comb either. So says Gemara, wait a second. On that first thing, we said that one of the first kula that Reb Elazar ben Azariah had was that his cow would go out with the strap between its horns. So remember, Reb Elazar ben Azariah had the para havilai. He only had one cow. V'amarav, didn't we learn? Didn't Rav teach us? Rav Milam Rav Yudam Rav. Tleis Ral Thiagli have a maaser. Reb Elazar ben Azariah Medrei. 13,000 cows would be his meiser behema each and every year. That means 130,000 new cows every single year in his flock. So we're talking about, oh, his para. He had this one para. He had so many. So says Maratana lo shalo haisa, el shal shchinto haisa. No, it wasn't his. When we say in the Mishnah that his cow would go with the Ritzur Shemin Karna, none of his cows went with the Ritzur Shemin Karna. It was his neighbor's cow that went with the Ritzur Shemin Karna. When we talk shalom micha, but he didn't make a macha. He didn't object to allowing that to happen. So nikrei shal shmo. That's why we call it as if it's his, because if he would have said something, he would have stopped it. He could have stopped it, and he chose not to stop it, and therefore it's considered like he's the one that actually did it. It's so amazing. His neighbor only owned one cow, and he owned all these cows. Was it a rich neighborhood? Was it a poor neighborhood? I guess they lived side by side. I don't know. But the other thing that Tosfos points out over here is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah l'chorah should not have had Meiser Behema anymore. He says the Tema, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was Acher Chorban Abayis Tuva. He lived after the Chorban Abayis, and he rose to prominence at a pretty young age after Churban Abayis. At the age of 18, he became a Nasi, right? We learned that, the Gemara tells us that Hare Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, and he says and we know that Maisa Behema became Batel after Churban Abayis. The Gemara in Maseches Becharos tells us L'achar Churban Nispatel Kol Maisa Behema. So Tosa says V'yesh Lomar D'lo Nispatel Li'alter Ki Im Li'achar Zman. It's true L'achar Churban Abayis Meiser Behem became batel. What's liachar? After, you know when after, right now is after Churban Abayis also. How long after Churban Abayis, it doesn't say. It could be that it was immediately after Churban Abayis, but probably not, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was still doing Meiser Behema. So it must be that it was some time after Churban Abayis that Meiser Behema became batel. Or he said maybe it was the apotropos of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and it was still when he was a child, when he was still, when the Abayis was still around, and it was apotropos, he was a rich child, and it was his apotropos that was being ma'aser. Or he says lav dafka ma'aser ela sheinos lemelech b'chol shana asiris. It could be that he didn't actually give ma'aser in terms of the mitzvah of ma'aser behema. It means this is how many animals he had, and that way, and if he was in a 10% tax bracket, that's how much he would have to give to the king. That's how much that's how many animals he would have to give to pay his taxes. But it's lav dafka that it was actually ma'aser behema. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayta now. The Mishnah said umakadrin es behema b'yom tov. You're allowed to makardin es behema b'yom tov. They could comb. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held they could comb the animal in Yom Tov. Tarabana ezu kirud vezu kirtzuf. What's the difference between two types of combing, kirud and kirtzuf? So kirud is ketanim, is very small. Very small teeth to the comb, vosin chabura, and it makes a wound in the animal. Kirtzuf is gedolim, thicker teeth to the comb, and therefore enosin chabura doesn't make a chabur. It's not as pointy, so it doesn't injure the animal. Vishalosh machlokas bedaver. So there are three basic shitos that are taught in our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah allows kirud and kirtzuf. The Chum aser both kirud and kirtzuf, and Rabbi Yehuda asers kirud but is matir kirtzuf. So the Gemara explains the three shitos, what they're actually arguing about, and that it relates to the famous machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that appears in Maseches Shabbos, whether you're allowed to drag a shulchan, a mita, or a safsal on the karka on Shabbos, when you know that there's a possibility that it's going to make a hole in the ground, or it's going to dig as you're dragging, it's going to dig into the ground, and that's a violation of the melacha of choresh. So Rabbi Shimon famously is matir, because that's what we call davar sheina meskavein, and davar sheina meskavein is mutter, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that davar sheina meskavein is aser. So even though you're not intending to plow, it's going to be aser. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda savar, davar sheina meskavein aser, Rabbi Yehuda is lishitaso. Rabbi Yehuda over here in our Mishnah is following his own shita that davar sheina meskavein is aser. Miu kerud ketanim va'osin chabura. But when you use a certain type of comb that's sure to make a chabura, or that's likely to make a chabura, it's going to be aser. But kirtzuf gedolim ve'osin chabura. But kirtzuf is a different type of comb that has wider teeth to it, and therefore it's not going to make a chabura. So it's not even a davar sheina meskavein. It's not doing anything. V'lo gazirin kirtzuf atakiru. The only reason to aser the comb with the thicker teeth is if you want to make a gzeira, lest you come to use the other type of comb. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't know of any such gzeira. We're not going to make up our own gzeira for such a thing. Rabbanan Savri, Namik Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Yehuda about Davar Shein Meskavein, that Davar Shein Meskavein is Aser, Davar Shein Meskavein is Aser, v'gazrin and kirtzuf adu kirud. But they take it a step further, and they say, just like you're not allowed to use the fine tooth comb, because that will cause will possibly cause a chabura, and that's going to be Aser, so too, you're not allowed to use the wide toothed comb because of a gezeira, lest you come to use the narrow toothed comb. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Savalak Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, it's not going to definitely make a chabur, it might make a chabur, and I hold like Rabbi Shimon, Dov and Dov Hashem is Kavin, Mutter, Ubeim Kir, Ubeim Kir Tzavshari, and therefore it's all Mutter, because the whole thing is only a Dov Hashem Miskavin, and a Dov Hashem Miskavin is going to be Mutter. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman Rav Shmuel, Varmi, Lam Rav Nachman L'chudei, Halacha Rabbi Shimon. We pask in Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutter, Shari Rav Elazar ben Azariah Modelo, because and the Raya is, look, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So our Mishnah here, Maseches Beitza, reflects on how we paskin in the Sugya, so one of the most important discussions in all of Maseches Shabbos, that Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutter. You're saying you're paskin like Rabbi Shimon because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in our Mishnah sides with him. You know who doesn't? The Chachamim. All the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So maybe our Mishnah should be an indication in how we paskin and Dov Hashem Miskavin, but in the opposite direction. It should be an indication that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that Dov Hashem Miskavin is Asur. Samlei anok Rabbi Shimon Svirle. He says, no. What I meant to say is, I think Rabbi Shimon is right. Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutter. When I said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like him, I mean V'od Shari Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Modelo. Rabbi Shimon is right because he's right, and also, by the way, it doesn't hurt to have the support of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as well. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is Modelo to Rabbi Shimon, so I agree with that as well. Now, the concept of Dov Hashem Miskavin does not only come up in Hilchos Shabbos; it comes up in many other places in Shas as well. Shabbos Taf Kuf Lamed Gimel discusses doing a mila when there's a negative Tzaras on the Makom Arla, and you're not miskavin to cut off the tzaras. It's nisur to cut off tzaras. It discusses Dov Hashem miskavin. This same machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Zvachim Tzadiyal talks about mizalf in yayin al gabei yoishim to sprinkle wine on fire and on the mizbech that the wine will partially extinguish the fire. But that's not your intention. But you're not allowed to extinguish the fire on the mizbech. Eish tamid tukar on the mizbech lo sichbe. You're not allowed to be mechabe the fire. So that the Gemara says, oh machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Dov Hashem miskavin. Or the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Klayim has a couple of Mishnahs. A person wears shatnas for the purpose of Havrachas Hamechas. You know, whatever he's wearing, he's not going to have to pay taxes on. So the Mishnah deals with that shatnas issue. And the Gemara says there's no intent for Anas Levisha. Oh, Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Dover Shedem Eskavin. The Mishnah in Klayim talks about Mochrei Ksus, people who are selling clothing. So they wear lots of layers of clothing that they're selling. Also, Dover Shedem Eskavin. Now, I'm not intending for I'm just selling the clothing. The Gemara Nazir Membeis talks about combing your hair. A Nazir combing his hair, he's not allowed to cut his hair. So what about when he's combing his hair? Dov Hashem Miskavin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, is it a psikreshe? All of these discussions. So it's clearly Dov Hashem Miskavin, this whole machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, is not limited to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Yom Tov. However, it could be, and not just could be, it is, the application of exactly how the rules of Dov Hashem Miskavin apply are slightly different for Shabbos and Yom Tov than they are for Kolat Arakula. And that's because on Shabbos we have a principle called Melechas Machsheves, that Dov Hashem Miskavin is a lack of purposeful activity, a lack of Melechas Machsheves. So for example, the Ran in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Dalet writes a Chiddush that the Gemara over there says that Rav Lo Shavik Rav wouldn't allow his son to remove a splinter because making a wound in his father is a chiyuv chenek. So the Gemara explains that he wouldn't allow his son Marbred Ravina wouldn't allow his son to remove a wart, and both are on account of Dilma Chavu Vavle Shigas Isser, that they might injure the father. It's going to be a Shigas Isser. So the Gemara says, well, nobody's allowed to wound anybody, so you shouldn't allow anyone to remove a splinter. It's not only a son to a father. I'm not allowed to make you bleed, even though I'm not your son. So Ihachi Acher Nami, the Gemara says. The Gemara answers, Acher Shigas Lav Beno Shigas Chenek. So what does the Gemara mean? So why is it okay to risk an Isser Lav? So the Ran explains that even though Dov Hashem Miskavin by an Isser Miso is Mutter, he says that's only by Shabbos. By Shabbos we're going to allow Dov Hashem Miskavin by even the most severe things, even an Isser Skila, which is Shabbos, because it's a lack of Melechas Machsheves. But in the rest of Kol HaTarukula, Dov Hashem Miskavin is Mutter, but only for low-level Isserim. We're not going to allow Dov Hashem Miskavin for a high-level Isser like wounding a father. We'll only allow davar she'ein miskaven for a low level iser, like wounding another person who's not your father. So you see a big chiddush. The Ran says in the difference between the way we apply davar she'ein miskaven in Hilchos Shabbos and the way we apply davar she'ein miskaven in Kol HaTorah Kula. There are many other examples as well, but let's try to move on over here. So says the Mishnah on Beis, harichayim shel pukul tmei mishum shlosha kelim. There are three parts of harichayim that they would grind peppercorns in that each have their own status of tumah. Number one, mishum kli kibul. There's a part of it that's a clay kibble that catches the already ground peppercorns. Number two, mishum kli mateches. There's a part that actually does the grinding, which is metal. And number three, mishum kli kvara. There is a woven part that it goes through, that the peppercorns go through. So tana tachtonu mishum kli kibul. The bottom part is a clay kibble. Emtsos mishum kli kvara. The middle part where it goes through is a kli kvara. It's like a woven kli. And elyonu mishum kli mateches. And the top part that does the actual grinding, that's the kli mateches. So they all have a status of being mekabel tuma. So nafkamina, Rashi points out, is dinami azulchad shmamina tmeya mishum idach, that even if one of them is missing, the others would still be tamei on account of the other parts of the kli. Now says the Mishnah, agola shel katan, halachas about a wagon of a child, where a child would sit like a carriage. So tmeya midras, it's tamei mishum tumas midras because the katan sits in it. Vinitelus b'shabbos, and it's allowed to be moved on Shabbos like any other kli shemalach to leheter that you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. It's not muktza. Ve'inu negreres, but you're not allowed to drag it on the ground. Ella al gabe kelim, only on top of cloth, because it's not going to dig into the ground if it's on top of cloth. But if you're dragging it on the dirt, it's going to dig into the ground. That's going to be a violation of a malach of chorish. Rabbi Yehuda omer kala kelim enegrarin chutz min agalim neshi koveshes. Rabbi Yehuda says no. In general, I'm not a fan of dragging kelim, because remember, I'm a davar shein miskaven aser person. So I think if you drag kelim, it might dig a hole in the ground. It's going to be a problem. But to wheel a carriage is fine, he says. It doesn't dig a hole in the ground. It just presses down the karka. But it doesn't. When you dig a hole, the karka is being moved from one side to the other, and it's clearing a path in the middle. Over here, it's just pressing down karka. It's just condensing the karka that's underneath it. So that's not a problem, says Rabbi Yehuda. So agalas shakaltan tamei medras. So says the Gemara, why is agalas shakaltan tamei medras? Because the child puts all of his weight on it. So it's like any other kli that's miyuchad liyeshiva. Vinitelus b'shabbos, it's not muktza. Why? Mishum dika taras kli ala. Because it has the status of a kli, like any other kli that's not an isra of muktza. Vein negreres ela al gabe kelim. But when you drag it, you can't drag it on the dirt. You have to drag it only al gabe kelim. So al gabe kelim in al gabe karka lo. We see that only al gabe kelim, but not al gabe karka. My taima de kavod charitz. What's the problem with dragging it al gabe karka? It's because it makes a hole in the ground. So says Gemara, money, Rabbi Yehudihi, davar shein miskaven. Also, this seems to be aligned with Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the first part of our Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to drag an agala shel katan on a dirt floor seems to be exactly Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Masechta Shabbos, that you're not allowed to be gorer, amita, kise, safsal, anything like that on a dirt floor, because it might make a hole in the ground. It's going to be a malacha of chorish. It's a davar shein miskaven, and davar shein miskaven is aser. Because di Rabbi Shimon, if we were going like Rabbi Shimon, hamar davar shein miskaven mutter. Rabbi Shimon holds the davar shein miskaven is mutter. There would be no problem. The tanya Rabbi Shimon omer gorer adam, mita, kise, v'safsal, ublad shel yiskaven lasus charitz. Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to be gorer these benches and beds and chairs as long as you're not having kavana to make a charitz. So over here also, you're not having kavana to make a charitz. You're just trying to move the wagon from one place to the other, trying to transport the child in the wagon. So the first part of our Mishnah seems to align with Rabbi Yehuda, but then Ema Seifa, the Seifa of our Mishnah, comes up and says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that Rabbi Yehuda says Eina kol gorer mishabes chutz min agalim neishi koveshes. I got no problem with wheeling a wagon on Shabbos. Wait a second. You're the only one that should have a problem. Rabbi Shimon had no problem with it. So the first part seemed to reflect the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. And then it's Rabbi Yehuda that says, "Ah, mibnei shekoveshes in avul charitz lo avda." That it's only because it's kovesh in the karka, but you know it doesn't make a charitz in the karka. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakama, who holds that the agala does make a charitz in the karka. So the Tanakama obviously must not be Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is one that disagrees with the Tanakhama. And the Tanakhama is for sure not Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon would have absolutely no problem of dragging any type of kli on the karka. So how do we reconcile who is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah? So answers the Gemara, very simple. Trei Tanoim, Valibit Rabbi Yehuda. It's a machlokas Tanoim, what Rabbi Yehuda would say about an agala shel katan. We know what Rabbi Yehuda says about a mita kisei safso. Tavashed Miskavin is aser. What about an agala shel katan? Do we aser that just like a mita kisei safso or not? So Tanakhama holds that even Rabbi Yehuda will that Rabbi Yehuda will say will be consistent that an agala is the same as mita kisei safso. Sometimes it will make a charetz bekarka and it's going to be a problem. Whereas the Tana of the Seifa thinks that Rabbi Yehuda will say no. Even Rabbi Yehuda thinks mita kisei safso is a problem is going to be moda that an agala shel katan is not a problem because it's not going to make a charetz bekarka. So hadron lach yom tov bez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with the third parak of Maseches Beitzah. Good night, a good day, everybody.